Well, thank you for choosing to spend your time with us today. This is Sharon Baptist Church. You're about to hear a message from Brian Baer. He's one of the preachers in our church that just got his master's degree and just got ordained by our church. So exciting. Now, if you'd like to find out more about us, our website is SharonBaptistConcord.com. Of course, you can join us for live services on Sunday mornings. We do the temperatures and the masks at the door and, of course, do the social distancing. Or if you'd rather watch online, we live stream on Facebook, Sharon Baptist Concord. Please enjoy this message by Brian Baer.
It's an honor many times throughout the year to let our younger pastors come to preach for us. They need to have experience as well to share the gospel. I know that when I was first started to preach, I wanted to preach so bad I could taste it. And I'm sure you do too, Brian. So Brian and Jason have been called to preach, and we've ordained Brian. And he's really making progress in the Lord, and God's going to use him in a marvelous way. I hate to see the day come when you have to leave us one day and go to a church, but I know that's going to happen. But until then, we're going to enjoy his preaching to us. So Brother Brian, if you'll come and preach the gospel to us, we'll appreciate it and hear it prayerfully. Pray for you.
Yes, please.
And Heavenly Father, we thank you for Brian. We love him as a fellow preacher of the gospel, a man of God, a brother in Christ. And how you put your hand upon him, I pray today that you'll bless us through the message you've given him. Help us to receive the message with thanksgiving in our heart and respond as the Holy Spirit of God would lead us so to do. And for those here who may not know Jesus Christ, or those who may be viewing and may not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that they may take advantage today to receive him, we pray. And bless Brian as he preaches, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Well, thank you. I thought this is, when Pam sung this song this morning, see, I was originally supposed to preach next Sunday. And, you know, I thought this whole week, I need to get with Sister Amanda and Sister Pam and say, hey, could you do a song like maybe in reference to my sermon today? But I never did. And I don't know, maybe it's because I was so caught up in my sermon. But anyway, when she sung that song, Glory in the Cross, it's exactly what my sermon's about today. So my brother-in-law also in Arkansas sends me a text this morning. Well, it was actually last night, but I didn't see it until this morning. And so a pastor friend of his sent him a text. He sent that to me too, and it was all about the cross. So I was like, man, it's ordained to preach this message to you guys today. So first of all, just, you know, before we look into our chosen text of Scripture today, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for my church family for being here, but also thank you for my family and my friends that are here. I really do appreciate it a lot. You know, and those that are watching by Facebook that couldn't be here, just want to thank them as well. And those that will eventually, hopefully, listen to this on the radio. But many of you, if not all of us, you know, we faced difficult situations last year. A lot of us are facing difficulties today. Something may be troubling you today. But you know, we certainly carry burdens with us, but I believe today's message will be one that will lead and lift your spirits. It's a sermon that will encourage you to put your hearts and your minds on the mercies of Almighty God. Amen. And how He dearly loves every one of us. And how He longs to draw us to Him this very hour. And I'm thrilled to preach this message that I've entitled Royal Heirs to the Throne. So therefore, brothers and sisters, be encouraged because Jesus Christ has completed and He continues to complete reconciliation between God and mankind forever. Forever for those that just simply trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Now, if you have your Bibles with you this morning, the chosen text of Scripture we're going to look at today comes out of the Gospel of John, chapter 19. The Gospel of John, chapter 19. That's the fourth gospel in the New Testament. And we'll be looking at verses 28 through 30. John chapter 19, verses 28 through 30. And as I read, please feel free to read along with me here. John writes, beginning with 28, "After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. Now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a hyssop, and put it into his mouth. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, It is finished. And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. Let's just pray real quick. Heavenly Father, in the name of Christ Jesus, I just thank you, Lord, that I cannot go beyond your presence. You said that you would never leave me or forsake me, Christ, and that I'm so grateful for. I pray that this sermon this morning pleases you and honors you, Lord, and I pray that it will draw all of us to you this morning, especially those that maybe doesn't know you as their personal Savior. So I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So when you read chapter 19, the whole chapter of 19, it deals with what you will discover is that it's the crucifixion of Christ, the death of Jesus on the cross. There are seven statements that Jesus makes while he is nailed to the cross that the Gospels identify: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. However, this morning we will only examine three of those statements. And we'll be looking at the final three statements, which are statements 5, 6, and 7. John, actually our text here, does not give us the seventh statement. He simply writes Jesus bowing his head. But I'm going to be borrowing that seventh statement from Luke's gospel, his account listed in Luke 23:46. You don't have to turn there, but anyway, that's what I will be borrowing from that. So let's look deeper into these three statements Jesus makes, which characterize Jesus in a way that you may or you may not have noted before, but after today, I definitely think that you will benefit from these characterizations that I'm going to present to you. I refer to them as the three R's. The three R's: rational, reverent, and redeeming. So now let's look at the first characteristic, Jesus as rational. Back on verse 28, where John writes, after this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said to fulfill Scripture, I thirst. See, at this point of his crucifixion, Jesus knew his purpose of coming to earth was coming to an end. And Scripture was being fulfilled, specifically the passage of Scripture found in Psalm 69:21, which reads, And for my thirst they gave me sour wine to drink. Now, that's for those of you that want to investigate Old Testament prophetic text. You can read that, because Jesus fulfilled that piece of prophecy right there in Psalm 69:21, when he stated, I thirst. But furthermore, when Jesus states, I thirst, he demonstrates a rational response to dehydration. You see, when Jesus makes this statement, I thirst, Jesus had not had anything to drink for 18 hours. Remember, the crucifixion took place during the Passover period, and his last intake of fluids was at the Last Supper. Therefore, Jesus was simply demonstrating a rational or a logical response to thirstiness. You know, in the crucifixion experience, Jesus' body lost tremendous amounts of blood, and when his body was beaten, struck, and flogged, and nailed to the cross, as recorded in the gospel, he was dehydrated. And again, for those of you that are interested in the crucifixion of Christ, that account is not only listed in the Gospels, but that account in antiquity is also recorded in Cornelius Tacitus's book called The Annals, and Josephus's work in a book called Antiquities. I won't charge you anything for that, so that's just one for you. But anyway, that crucifixion experience is in other texts. Okay, back to our first characteristic as rational. Jesus was nearing the end of his human portion of life on earth, and asking for something to drink was simply a rational act. Rational. So listen carefully when I tell you this. Rational thought, depicted throughout Scripture, helps us to find the trueness of Scripture. And it is in Christ Jesus alone that truth consummates. It's in Him. Jesus stated that He was the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes into the Father except through Him. So keeping this rational characteristic in mind, I want to investigate statement 7 before we go to statement 6. Okay, in the seventh statement, remember I'm borrowing from Luke's account, and he said, Jesus says this, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." That's the last statement that Christ makes on the cross. "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." And John writes here in our chosen text this morning, he said he bowed his head. See, here Jesus is displaying reverence. Our first characteristic was rational. The second one is reverence. Jesus is displaying reverence on the cross. During this brutal crucifixion experience, Jesus somehow mustered up enough strength to bestow a reverence toward God. When Jesus bows, he bows sincerely to demonstrate again the love and honor and reverence to God. John doesn't write that Jesus' head just erratically fell. As you would imagine, someone going through the crucifixion experience, their head would just fall erratically at death. But John writes that he bowed his head. You see, Jesus' death was a calm moment for him. That is after the sixth statement, which we will look at shortly. It's a calm moment. Jesus at this point did not demonstrate fear. He didn't demonstrate a hate. He didn't demonstrate anger, even for those that were nailing and beating him that very moment. And he absolutely did not demonstrate a disposition of defeat. There was no defeat in this. He laid his life down freely. Once more, Jesus states in that seventh statement at the tail end, "I commend my spirit." In other words, Jesus is signifying with this statement that there is a distinction between the spiritual realm and the physical realm. Quick question for those of you that have read the account of the crucifixion. Do you remember what Christ told the repentant thief that asked him to remember him when he comes into his kingdom? Do y'all remember that? He said, "This day you will be with me in paradise." Not at the end of age or at the end of eternity. He said, "This day you will be with me." So doesn't this give you great hope? Knowing I lost my dad last September. But I have great hope knowing he is with the Lord. And I have great hope on my behalf too, because I know the Lord, so I'm not afraid. I don't live in fear, because to be absent of the body is to be present with the Lord immediately at death. We're not going to go in some soul sleep. We're going to be with Christ right then. So I'm really encouraged about that, and I hope you are too. So now let's move forward to the steeple of this sermon this morning, and that is statement 6. And this is the statement that I want you to really listen to very closely this morning, because it is one of, if not the greatest, but it's one of the greatest theological statements found in Scripture. I know that's saying a lot right now, but I want you to listen. It's a great theological statement. Right before Jesus' death, before commending his spirit to God and bowing his head in reverence, John writes in 19:30 right there, when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished. It is finished." Now, the Gospel of Matthew records that Jesus cried out with a loud voice. And the Gospel of Mark cries out that Jesus uttered a loud cry. And in the Gospel of Luke writes that Jesus called out with a loud voice. So Jesus exclaimed, "It is finished." It wasn't a very, "It is finished." It wasn't like that. This was a very bold statement at the top of his lungs, because it is the most sovereign and liberating exclamation to be itself that would resonate into eternity. Jesus shouted those words out loudly. To illustrate this, I think of Kurt Warner in Super Bowl 34 when he was the MVP. You remember in 2000 when they barely beat the Titans with that short football? Y'all remember that football, guys? Well, you remember at the end of that game, they came up to Kurt Warner. And they wanted to interview him because he threw over 400 yards, which was amazing. But he says, I got to take care of first things first. And he said, thank you, Jesus. I mean, he said that to millions of people because he was excited. It made an impact. Matter of fact, his little collector card goes for several hundred dollars with that statement on it. But when Jesus declared, it is finished at the top of his lungs, beloved, he was thinking of you. And he was thinking of me. Because the chasm between God and man was closed. And with this statement, Christ's victory demonstrated that he, and only he, is a redeemer. He alone can only bring redemption and atonement. God's sovereign plan was finally fulfilled at Jesus' sacrificial death on the cross. The enmity that existed between humanity and God had been eradicated forevermore. That's an exciting moment. The separation between God and humanity, which began in the Garden of Eden, was no more. It is finished. Jesus is Redeemer. Jesus will redeem you. And all of us are everyone from not just that moment when he was on the cross and he shouted those words, or that Greek word. He wasn't just shouting to those that were in his presence that day. He was saying from that moment into eternity, you can be with God. You can be with God. So I'll tell you something interesting here. In this phrase, it is finished. In Koine Greek, and I'm not going to charge you for this either, so for y'all, like my daughter's, she's learning speech, and Pam, I know you know a lot about speech and stuff, so in the written language, Koine Greek of the New Testament, it is finished is actually a one-word verb pronounced tetelestai. It's a what they call a passive indicative verb form. And in any case, this verb form is one, if you're studying Greek, it is so awesome because this verb form has an ongoing effect or an everlasting effect. So like I was saying, when he said it is finished, it wasn't that, well, my job's done here today and that's just it. No, this is victory forever into eternity. So listen to me. So please listen to me today. Jesus not only met and filled the consequences at that very hour on the cross, but when he stated it is finished, his sacrifice has that ongoing effect forever. What Jesus had finished that day was not for those just witnessing then. No, that act of sacrifice is for all that will come to repentance from then till eternity. So the Greek biblical scholar Bill Mounts, regarding this word, tetelestai, writes this: because Jesus fully completed his task, the ongoing effects are that you and I are offered the free gift of salvation so that we can be with him forever. That just excites me. That excites me immensely. And I hope it does for you too. Because that excitement lets you know there's victory. So, recapping our three statements and the representation of Christ again, statement 5, I thirst, Jesus was rational. Statement 7, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit, with the bowing of his head, Jesus was reverent. And statement 6, it is finished. Jesus is the Redeemer. Hallelujah. That settles all the dilemmas. Listen to me carefully here. It settles all the troubles, all the curveballs that life will throw at you and me. Going forward, we will come across some tough and rough times. We don't need to sweat it, brothers and sisters, because what he finished on the cross, and Dr. Strickland will be preaching about the resurrection, we have victory. We have setbacks, of course, but Christ is with us all the way. Life is rough at times, but remember what the Savior did on the cross. We are victorious, not according to this world, but to the kingdom to come. So this morning, I want you to be rational in your ways. Be reverent toward God, no matter what circumstances you face. But lastly, if you have not made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, I want you to do it today so you can be redeemed. That life of eternity doesn't begin after death when you're redeemed today and you ask Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Your eternity begins right then. My eternity has started. So glory to the Lamb of God. Christ is victor. And we are living a victorious life despite what the world tells us. We're victorious in Christ. As I stated earlier, be encouraged, brothers and sisters, because Jesus Christ has completed on the cross, and he continues to complete reconciliation, because that's an ongoing, everlasting effect when he said it is finished between God and mankind forever. If you've received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are, as my sermon entitled, ascribes, you are royal heirs to the throne. He said, in my house, where my Father's house is, there are many kingdoms, and I'm preparing those for you. That is great news. It's a very quick sermon, and it's very practical, very simple. But let me leave you with this. This is a true event involving this lady named Corrie Ten Boom. If you've never read much about her story, it's really, really inspiring. But she was imprisoned in a Nazi prison camp during World War II for helping rescue Jewish people from the Nazis during the Holocaust. The true event comes from her book entitled Jesus is Victor, Message of Hope. And it unfolds this way, what I'm using this morning. After working together to rescue Jewish babies from an orphanage where they were slated to be killed, a young Dutch native who worked in the underground network with Corrie's family was said to emphatically proclaim, "There's no greater work to be done in this world than saving people's lives." But Corrie gently corrected them. She corrected this young man, explaining that there was no one greater task to be done than that of saving people's souls. According to Corrie, when you come to Jesus and bring your sins to him, you are forgiven, and he will give you a peace that surpasses understanding. Thank God that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, and receive him. That's what she was telling that young man. Receive him as your Savior and your Lord. She clarified that for the young man, that sharing this message is our most important work. At the time, the young man couldn't understand the significance of Corrie's words. However, some months later, the same young man was imprisoned for his underground work and told that he and all those with him would be executed by the end of the week. The young man told his friends about Jesus and reassured them that when the guns fired at them, if they believed in Jesus, their souls would rest with Christ in heaven immediately. Many accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and he wrote a long letter to Corrie just before he was executed, stating that now he understood the greatest work a person could do is tell others about Christ in order that souls may be saved. Jesus has done his part. So I got to give you a chance to respond. I don't know what you're going through today. Y'all don't know exactly what I may be going through, but Jesus knows. But I know at my salvation experience, when I heard that message like this, the Holy Spirit was tugging me immensely. My brothers and my mom and I, I remember it. And I felt the Holy Spirit calling me. For any of you today, if you feel that tug, that's God. He's pulling you into repentance. Today's the day to make it right. We don't know when our life will come to an end. We don't know what's going to happen once we leave these doors. We don't know what's going to happen going forward into this year. We lost a lot of loved ones here last year. One being my father, like I said. So I just want to encourage you and invite you, if you want to pray this morning, lay your burdens down. He said, I will give you rest. All of you that are heavy laden, come. So just know, Jesus, He says it. C.S. Lewis makes this statement. He said, you got to make a choice what Christ, Jesus of Nazareth. He says, Jesus is either who He said He was. C.S. Lewis said He also either is a lunatic, because He's the only man that ever ascribed to be God. And He did ascribe to be God. Some say He never did, but He did. Look through the Gospels. It's very clear. So He either was who He said He was a lunatic, or He was a liar. And even those that don't believe Christ or maybe doesn't believe that He's the begotten Son of God, that He is part of the Trinity, they'll never say He was a liar or a lunatic. Jesus is who He said He was. I just want you to know this morning that, like I said, whatever dilemmas that you're facing, what you will face, if you have Jesus, be encouraged. Be encouraged, because we are victorious in Him. There may not be another time, because as I was saying earlier, I don't ever try to talk a lot about the spiritual realm of things coming together. But when Pam sung that song this morning, this message was ordained today. There's an appointed time for you guys to listen and hear this today. Not because of what I said, because of what the Word of God said. So be encouraged, because I know for me, every time I feel like I'm coming against something, maybe like the devil or something, a stronghold's trying to come against me, I just remind the old devil, I'm like, hey, listen, I'm victorious in Christ. It is finished. You know, the Bible talks about that old devil roaming around like a roaring lion. But the Bible says this is a two-edged sword. He's going to get this, the Word of God. Well, thank you once again for being here. I'm going to ask Dr. Strickland to come up, and he's going to give a benediction, and we'll do that right now, if you don't mind. Thank you. Thank you.
Well, thank you for joining us. That was Brian Baer. He's one of the preachers at our church. Of course, our main preacher is Pastor James Strickland. And we have Brian and other people that are called to the ministry guest preach sometime. If you can find out more about us on our website at SharonBaptistConcord.com, or if you'd like to join us for services, you can join us at 10:45 on Sunday mornings. Get directions on our website. We do practice the social distancing. We take the temperatures at the door and offer face masks. You can find out more about us, of course, on our website, SharonBaptistConcord.com. Or if you don't feel comfortable, join us on Facebook, Sharon Baptist Concord. We live stream at 10:45. God bless you.